Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I will be your keeper.
Hello, I'm Becky Annison. My pronouns are she, her, and I will be playing Gabby the Surge, and her pronouns are also she, her.
And I'm James Torrance. My pronouns are he, him, and I will be playing Azure Wings, the last, whose pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick Bate. My pronouns are he, him. And I'm playing the Viscount Greaves, who is the Shade. His pronouns are also he, him.
Hi, my name's Sue Elliott. My pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing August Nye, the Found, whose pronouns are also she, her.
And today we are here to play Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi.
Hello, I'm Josh Fox, editor of the podcast and GM of our Apocalypse Keys game. We're having a great time creating Black Armada Tales, and we hope you're enjoying listening to it. If you like what we're doing, and you'd like other people to hear about it, please consider rating and reviewing the podcast. A 5-star review will make a big difference to whether people are able to find the podcast. We'd also love it if you joined us on Twitter. The podcast account is B Armada Tales. That's letter B, followed by Armada Tales. We'd love to hear what you think of the podcast.
We cut back to Greaves with all of the signs that a very long period of time has passed. And so the bodies of my friends lie decayed around me. The dirt in the ground where I was standing has been sort of compacted by Greaves walking in circles for goodness knows how long. His diving suit is falling apart. I think perhaps the glass dome has been shattered. Not completely, but where he's perhaps pounded at the dome. And having been through 100 years of that, his kind of cold analytical mind finally kicks in. The rage and the sadness and the frustration dies it down enough that he can start thinking about how he's going to get out of this particular situation. And so what I would like to do is trigger my soul like a steel trap move.
Ooh.
So your cold analytic skills can help you devise a perfect plan. When you study a tense situation, spend darkness tokens and roll. So at the moment when I start doing this, I'm trying to figure out how I can fix this, I think. I'm not yet aware that this is some nightmare that I'm trapped in.
Right.
But I'm beginning to think about, I don't know, time travel or resurrection or, you know, all these kinds of things. And so I'd like to make that move.
Cool, do it. I mean, and for what it's worth, I think we could treat the situation as being quite broad. If you have anything left over for sort of, you know, dealing with Queens of Monsters and things like that.
Yep, this is a question move. So I will, assuming this doesn't go horrendously wrong, I will get questions. So I'm adding 3 darkness tokens because I have many. And I rolled a 9, so that becomes a 12. And I can't actually, I don't have the bonds, I think, to drag that back down. But I think that's okay, because on 11 plus, ask one from the above, from the list, but you come to a harrowing realization about the situation. The keeper will ask you a difficult question that you must answer. So the question I want to ask from my list is, how could we best end this quickly? And I'm hoping the answer to that question leads me to the realization that this is not reality, this is a nightmare.
Cool. Well, so until such time as Azure Wings contacts you, I think the answer is you have to physically break down the world around you, because it is physically real. As I mentioned before, you're not in a dream or an imaginary world, you're in a real world that is your nightmare. And the reason Gabby was able to break out of it is because Gabby can break things in that way.
Well,
but there is another way, as we know. And that is to use the psychic strength of many minds to drag you out of the reality that you are in and into a different one.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I can see where this might be going.
Now, I have to ask you about your harrowing realization. It's me that tells you what the harrowing realization is, right?
Well, it says, but you come to a harrowing realization about the situation. The keeper will ask you a question that you must answer. So up to a point, I think, yes, it's you, but then it's me.
If you need any ideas, Josh, then I have one. But
yes, please. I am always open for other people supplying brilliant ideas.
Surely the harrowing realisation is that Danforth is really dead and cannot be brought back.
Oh, that is a spectacularly harrowing realisation.
Sorry, mate. I'll just posit that for you, Josh, to think about.
I'm trying to decide whether that's a harrowing realisation about the current situation or whether that's like a future harrowing realisation you might have. Because in the current situation, Danforth's not, like, Danforth's broken body is on the ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I assume I parked Danforth in a safe place and I'm in my Azure Wings flying mode for rift purposes.
Oh yeah, yeah, right, okay. But nevertheless, in Greaves's nightmare reality, Danforth's body has been destroyed along with everything else. But it could be a harrowing realisation that Danforth's gone in that reality, but that's not that harrowing since you're about to come back from
leave it.
It.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that the move necessarily implies that it must be a harrowing realisation about the nightmare reality I'm in. It's just about the situation.
Yeah.
And surely Danforth is always the situation.
For me, absolutely. Mm.
Then I guess the question is, what is it about spending many lifetimes alone in your own personal post-apocalypse that leads you to that realization?
Oh, this could get really bleak, so maybe you'll have to...
This is a bleak situation.
I think... Okay, let me know if this is too much. I think that what it is that led me to that realization is that I have long since dissected Danforth and presumably Azure Wings just to see if I could figure out what I could have done, how it could have been different. And the inevitable conclusion, no matter how many times I try, is that there's too much damage to his brain, that Danforth must have always been gone.
Yep. And so I think you are in the laboratory in the mysterious headquarters, standing over the body of Danforth, which you have been trying to, for one last time, prove to yourself that no, he was in there, he must have been. And how does Azure Wings's attempted psychic connection come through in that moment?
So the obvious one is that, like, I animate Danforth. Have you got Danforth, like, the top of his skull cut off and, you know, a series of slices through his brain, or what are you?
I think it's that, only probably a bit more gruesome. I've probably done this many times, so that plus.
Excellent. So yeah, the eyes flicker open on Danforth's heavily dissected body.
The first tiny hint of hope in 100 years of isolation and failure.
And I immediately say, "Greaves, it's me." Pause for a beat. Azure Wings.
I think probably, sorry, that was very loud. I think probably Greaves just starts thumping his own helmet again.
His smashed helmet.
Yep. And he probably says, "It's not you I want, Azure Wings. It's not you.
It's okay, Greaves. Calm down. I don't understand quite what's troubling you at the moment, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's not real. This is just a dream realm that's been created when we entered the rift. It's exactly as it happened 65 million years ago. We just need to unite our minds and we can break out."
I think maybe the thumping slows as that analytic side of Greaves' brain starts to click in, and his voice goes cold, and he just very calmly says, "Say that again, Azure Wings."
You'll just need to merge with me mentally. Just put aside any complicated emotions that you might have towards me, and we should be able to act as one to break ourselves out of the rift. It's as easy as that.
I can't and I won't.
Greaves? The body sits up on the dissecting table and I look around at, you know, whatever post-apocalyptic hellscape you're in. I'm not sure why you would want to stay here, Greaves.
Not again. Not again. Not again. Danforth is dead. I've checked over and over and over and over again. Danforth is dead. Not again.
Yes, Greaves. You're right. Danforth is dead. I've always told you that. I thought you got over that by now.
I'll never get over that, Azure Wings.
and I will never cease to regret it, Greaves. But, and, you know, I, the dissected body of Damforth that holds forth a hand in and says, but we have to work together now, Greaves.
I think there's probably three, four beats. And then Greaves reaches out and takes Danforth's hand and then sweeps this kind of grotesque body up into a hug.
Would you like to roll to reveal your heart?
I mean, I feel like I should. Or someone should.
Perhaps as your wing should.
Yes. I should say that mechanically, I should have been torn between after the last roll. It felt a bit tricky to insert that narratively. I don't know if we want to just hang that over for when we break out. If we break out. Or what you want to do with that.
Good point.
I also have to be torn between in this moment, and I think I know exactly what I'm going to do, so...
But I think Azuwings had to be torn between before making that roll.
Indeed.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you got any bonds that you could spend?
Yes, in fact... Oh, in fact, there we go. Because I can... Yes, of course, I can end that by spending a bond, and I can spend a bond because I have one with Greaves. The only problem is I've kind of messed that up narratively, but...
Directly or inadvertently help you to regain control.
I mean, the need for that connection in order for you to break loose and do what needs to be done.
The obvious temptation that I'd be torn between is to use this telepathy to bond with the Queen of Monsters, to tap into her power and, you know, use that for whatever apocalyptic means. None of that quite fits with what I narrated just now.
How about we say that mechanically the bond is spent before you make this next move, and then we'll deal with it when you make psychic connection.
Sweet. Okay, yes. I'd be gathered up in a hug. Oh, and I'm rolling to reveal my heart, which I really should have chosen the number of darkness tokens before I rolled an 8. Well, 0 darkness tokens then by default, it's an 8.
Well, if you chose anything between 0 and 2, you would have succeeded, so... So, you get to choose one, and I think the fact that that Greaves did sweep you up in a hug means that he's chosen to deepen the connection.
I absolutely
have.
And
can choose one too.
Yep. I'm going to take a bond with Azure Wings. I'm going to grow closer with Azure Wings. I think that makes the most sense.
Yay! Best buds.
Okay. So, I think the thing that makes sense is to do that reciprocally.
Nice.
Yeah, should we not roleplay through every single psychic connection? As cool as it would be to, I mean, I think like montage it.
I do love a montage. Montage, Josh. Montage.
Azure Wings is in the battle scene, and presumably, you probably already merged with the head of the monster, right? So you speak through the monster.
Oh yeah, yes, absolutely.
Oh no. And
in my head, that's quite a comedy scene where, like, I'm in the scene and now Azure Wings is in the scene, but we're both coming in from outside the scene. And then August, just like in the middle of me and Azure Wings talking to each other, knowing what's going on. That sounds funny, that's all. Sorry.
Definitely is funny. But I'm not going to continue to make you roll dice to escape your nightmares. I think you've connected up a cool way to do this, so you all connect psychically. And I think as you do, Greaves, you can feel Azure Wings, you can feel a little bit of Azure Wings' psyche wanting to reach out to the Queen of Monsters, half doing it. What do you do?
And can I feel everyone, or just Azure Wings?
Good question. What do you reckon, Azure Wings? Is your radio?
Maybe everyone in the psychically charged environment of the Rift. We all have to, you know, merge our powers as one in order to break out of the dream realms. And so, maybe, I don't know, potentially anyone can sense that I'm reaching out to the Queen of Monsters, but maybe Greaves is the one who acts, or maybe only Greaves sees that part of my mind.
Azure Wings, we're all here. You found us. Now come with us.
Yes. But with all our power together, we can harness the Queen of Monsters. power that could be put to many ends, to do such good, to bring back so many things that have been lost.
And you can feel the power of the Queen of Monsters, like you're like four little motes of light floating before an enormous sun of power.
We have a job to do, Azure Wings. We mustn't get distracted from the mission. She's just tempting you again, like she did before. You've resisted her once. Resist her again.
Listen to Gabby, Azure Wings. Gabby has your best interests at heart. Gabby cares for you.
And you feel my mind reaching out, and then I sort of sigh, and it's sort of much as before when I crumpled into the, you know, crumpled up insect form as my hopes were crushed in that previous, what was it, the breaking point thing. But the mental equivalent of that as I sort of give up on the temptation, and then, yeah, my will crumbles.
Next time. You're all kind of psychically connected still, as you sense the power of the rift around you. And as you may recall, but probably have forgotten because it was many sessions ago, the rift has formed a kind of spiderweb of power that is holding the Queen of Monsters in place. That is the web that your people put in place. The rift is like a tiny kind of opening in that web. And the growing power of the rift and the way that the power is being siphoned out towards the laboratory is gradually fraying away at that web of power. You can see it, or perhaps see it is not quite right, because all of this is kind of, it's psychic, it's in your mind. It's like you are, in a sense, you are the web. You can feel the fraying edge, where if left long enough, the Queen of Monsters might escape. And certainly if more rifts were to be opened, it would start to unravel.
So is this the point to come back to my question from the move earlier of how we sealed the rift from the inside last time round?
Yeah, cool. So I feel like this has got to be a combination of the answer to that question and August's memory harvested from Greaves' experiences of the ritual. So what that says to me is it's a combination of ritual and, like, the psychic joining must be part of it. So the answer is you have to conduct the ritual while you are psychically joined. So you're going to physically conduct the ritual and psychically conduct it at the same time. And so when you did your unlocking Doom's door move, you earned the right for me to present an opportunity to protect what matters most, take down the Harbinger, or otherwise drive back the apocalypse. I think now is the time for that opportunity to become ripe. And I think you sense another psychic presence entering through the web, entering into the web through the rift, the mind of Fletcher Payne, and joined with him, that horrible, undead Halimor creature that you psychically connected with, August, and that you saw opening the rift all those, well, about a century ago, I guess. You also sense the Queen of Monsters' psychic presence has been there the whole time, massive, impossible, looming over you, but lashed down by the web. And Payne calls out, "You're too late. I am going to complete what we started. You can't stop it now. What is one rift now will become many. And then I will run things from Mysterious, and Division will get out of my way."
Payne, whatever you think you may be able to accomplish here, the Queen of Monsters, not you, is always going to be in control. As I've had to be, I too have felt the temptation to tap her power, but I've come to the realization that she is far too psychically powerful. She cannot be used. She can only use you, Payne.
No, you're wrong. Your ritual, your web of power holds her down, and she is helpless. We have been using her power all along, and we will use it more. You're just trying to stop me. You're just trying to protect your own power. You're doing what a good Division agent should do, but I'm not a good Division agent, and I'm not going to play your game anymore. And he physically launches himself at your physical body.
On this Halimor of his?
Yeah. So he's like, I reckon what he's done is he's kind of done a bit of what that other kid had done. So he's kind of more merged with his Halimor than piloting it. Because, of course, he's too old now to be a Halimor pilot anyway. So it's kind of, it's Fletcher Monster, not Fletcher.
In an undead Halimor.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he launching himself specifically at me?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Can I step in front of Azure Wings and say, I'll handle this, get the ritual underway, and then reach out with my necromantic powers and rest control, or attempt to rest control of this undead Halimor from Pain.
Yes, do it, yes.
Shit, I didn't even think of that. That's amazing.
So, am I unleashing the dark, or am I powering through darkness?
Right, let's have a look. I think you might have to do both. I think this is one of those rare situations where it's fully justified. You're like trying to control a very powerful creature, which is clearly pushing the limits of your abilities.
Yeah, makes sense, I think. Well, in that case, I'll power through darkness.
Cool.
And I have but two darkness tokens remaining. I'm going to spend one on this roll. That is a six on the dice, becomes a seven. But I have a recently developed bond with Azure Wings, who I am now moving to protect.
Yeah, I don't think you even need to justify why you're using that.
So that's an eight on power through darkness.
Awesome. So what that means is you can feel your powers working, and you can see. So that, I'll just describe it again, because I did a really bad job of describing it just now. The creature that you'd seen at the bottom of the ocean was this massive kind of octopoid creature with a single giant eye. And now you can see Fletcher Payne's form suspended in the eye like a fly in amber. But the eye is this, instead of the sort of golden warmth of amber, it's this kind of grey, rotten ooze that he's suspended in. And instead of a lustrous octopoid shape, it is a rotting husk.
Nice.
But you can see the doubt both in the eye of the creature and in the eyes of Pain as you feel your power start to take effect, and now it is only a question of whether you can defeat its will.
I think Greaves shouts, "You threaten me with a dead thing?" And then I'll make my unleash the dark roll with one token, my last one. Eight on the dice, nine total.
Nice. I don't understand how you've gone from having like eight darkness tokens to zero, by the way, but...
Torn between. I diminished myself to...
Oh, you did? Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. You did it.
All right. So, I need to choose two from the list. Oh, I want to choose them all.
I'll remind you that conditions are like hit points in this.
Right, and so presumably we need to inflict them if we want to stop Pain.
I think if you want to totally defeat Pain, then yes, that is the right answer. But there are plenty of other options there which would allow you to gain a temporary advantage that might be worth more.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to take that route, actually. And the options that I want to take are gain the upper hand for now. And I would like to expose a weakness or flaw, which means I have not avoided reprisals, harm, or cost.
Oh, yes. It's the first time someone's used it without choosing that, I think. Okay. So I think, firstly, what happens is it sort of staggers forward almost under its own momentum and locks tentacles with your mechanical tentacles. So the cost is that you are... Like, you're physically kind of stuck like this now. You're both psychically and physically grappling this creature. It is unable to fully control itself. And so you are physically dominating it, but you're also psychically kind of frozen with your mind locked with its in a battle for control. I will say that it inflicts a condition on you as part of that, I think.
Yep, makes sense.
Which you can choose.
I think I'm going to choose distracted.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then, oh, weakness or flaw. I just don't want to go for the boring stab it in the eye type weakness. So I think I will go for a different weakness. The weakness is that Pain and this creature have been in and out of this rift for some time, years, and they believe themselves to have total mastery over it. So their weakness is arrogance. They cannot conceive that any of you are a true threat, and so they're quite happy to, well, in this case, they're quite happy to focus on you rather than worrying about the ritual, but there may be other ways you could take advantage of their arrogance, if you can think of one. So for the moment, these massive mechanical and biological tentacled things are thrashing about in the middle of the nightmare realm. Do you want to describe what that looks like for us?
Yeah, I can. I think the Halimor kind of dwarfs Greaves in scale, even inside his soul-powered contraption. So I think in some sense it looks like it shouldn't be possible for Greaves to have pinned this thing in any sort of way. So it's only the combination of those physical arms and the necromantic control over this giant undead beast that is keeping it there. So I think probably Greaves has got three or four of these mechanical legs planted in the nightmare stuff, desperately pushing forward as he tries to hold this thing in place. And I think from if we drop for just a moment into Greaves's point of view, I think everything is the colors just instantly change, and we're at the bottom of the ocean, and you know that there are lights hovering around. And does August or Gabby, do you have hair? I don't remember. Does one of you have?
Yeah, let's say I've got hair.
Great. What's doing that thing, that underwater thing where it's all drifting?
Mermaidy.
Yeah, mermaidy.
Floaty.
Yep. And sounds are probably muted. So that jump between one or the other, you can probably hear Greaves shouting, and then it sounds like shouting underwater from Greaves' point of view.
Yeah, and you can hear Fletcher Payne shout, "You will not stop me, you insect," but his voice is muffled and watery. What are the rest of you doing? This ritual, I guess.
Yeah, so I imagine I'm looking to August for guidance on this. She's the one who has seen the ritual in Greaves' memory, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I think it's relatively easy for August to take actually all three of us back to that moment, as we're all psychically linked, and to kind of it plays out kind of in normal time, but I think it only takes a couple of seconds in actual time for all three of us to see the ritual, how it plays out.
Right, like an instant psychic,
yeah,
flash. So what does the ritual look like, if I may impose upon you to describe it?
I'm trying to think, because it has to be something that a gross underwater creature is able to do. I think there's some kind of equivalent to chanting going on, so it's almost like, but it's more rhythmic, I suppose, so we're able to kind of reproduce that. From our point of view, we're humming along to what's going on, but we're just sort of, we're playing back the ritual in our minds and humming along to it. It's almost like karaoke. And various occult symbols can be drawn sort of in the air as well. So obviously this tentacled creature would be doing sort of at least four at once, and between the three of us we can replicate that as well. And you can almost see the trails of these symbols being drawn in the air, that they hover for a second before they dissipate, and the air almost seems to be getting thicker and thicker, and it's not just the heat from the volcano, there's something else going on there. It's almost like more threads are being added to this web as the ritual carries on, and everything's increasing in volume as well, and frequency and tempo, and it's building up and up.
Awesome. So I think somebody somewhere is going to need to give me an Power Through Darkness roll, but who is it? It could be August, because you're leading the ritual, or it could be Azure Wings, because it's kind of a psychic ritual that's currently using the psychic connection he's created. Anyone feeling lucky?
You do it, Sue.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was staying quietly because I didn't want to steal your thunder.
I see what's going on. Okay, let me spend 2 darkness tokens. We're at 6 at the moment.
What, with all the bonuses and that?
Bonds.
Bonds.
Surely
bonds,
you've got...
That's it, yes. I have bonds with everyone, so I'm going to spend...
You were so the right person to the rest of us have burned through our bonds.
I will spend one with Azure Wings and one with Gabby, as Greaves is kind of dealing with something else at the moment. So I think the three of us are kind of really working together on this. So that takes me up to an 8.
Super. Could you just describe a moment with each of these characters? Like, what... How do we see that they're helping you?
I've just spent several, what felt like weeks, reliving the last couple of days. And what I keep coming back to is all the times that Gabby and Azure Wings and Greaves have helped me through that. I owe my life to them several times over. I can't doubt them for a second. They're just... they're always there. I can always rely on them. And that's very much fresh in my mind as we're going through this ritual together.
Cool. So as the rhythm and tension of the ritual grows, you feel like it almost might slip beyond your control, but you look over at your friends and you remember how they've helped you and steel yourself and the three of you somehow manage to carry out a ritual that requires more than your combined number of limbs to complete.
I've got lots of limbs.
It's true.
Oh, do you? I hadn't thought of that.
It only occurred to me later.
You're putting in double time compared to everyone else.
Yeah, you're making an extra contribution. Your psyches start to emit the psychic threads which the web that contains the Queen of Monsters is woven from, and your movements, what you thought were purely designed to create symbols, are actually a kind of elaborate weaving as you reweave the web and strengthen the bonds that hold the Queen of Monsters in place and begin to close down the rift. Just one problem, you do actually have to get out of this place. It's kind of like, you know, finishing off a bit of knitting or something. You've got to tie it off. Is that right, Becky?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, then it's like something else.
That you have to tie off.
You got to tie it off. Just shut up.
I was assuming it was like Indiana Jones leaping under a door and retrieving his hat or whatever that thing was, a falling block.
It's definitely also like that, yes. Oh, but your friend Greaves is currently locked in combat with the pain monster. So how are you going to deal with that? There's this moment where you can all realise, and this includes you, Greaves, you're still psychically connected to the others. You can feel, you almost experience the ritual from their perspective. Like, just because you're not doing it yourself, it is almost like you are taking part. And you can feel that the moment has arrived for it to finish and for the rift to close.
Are we all psychically connected, including Greaves?
Yes.
Because I gain darkness tokens if I ask someone to use my power as they see fit. And I was going to suggest...
Do not unmake this rift, Becky.
offering Greaves the opportunity to direct my powers as he sees fit, using our psychic connection to end this fight now and get us out.
Yeah, I mean...
What could go wrong?
Nothing at all.
Why would I not take that opportunity?
Yeah.
So remind me again what your powers of darkness are.
Angelic Fury.
Which I think we've established it manifests as the unmaking.
So what you're thinking, Gabby, is that since we're connected, I can channel that power, or I can...
Yeah, I can... What does it say, the wording? Ask someone to use my power as they see fit. Mm-hmm. So I would say to you, use my powers through your psychic link to end this.
I think Greaves, if he had, I mean, the skull inside his suit is probably, the skull inside his suit is probably gritting its teeth. And he, through those gritted teeth, he says, "Thank you, Gabby," and grabs a hold of that kind of monumental power that's kind of surging through that psychic link, and tries to scurry up one of the tentacles of this gigantic monstrosity and bring himself level with the eye, with pain contained within it, and just focus all of that angelic fury at the eye, straight at pain. Forget about the monster, just take him apart in the middle of this construction. I think that's the idea.
Yikes. So I guess that's like unleashing the dark?
I think so, but I think...
Yeah, who's unleashing it?
I want to say you are, I think, because I'm just directing it. But
yeah,
but I'm easy either way.
Yeah, I'm relaxed. Like, I'm conscious that economically speaking, you're not in that great a position right now, are you?
I was going to say, I've just given myself a load of tokens for that, so I might be the best person to do it. And I feel that, I mean, obviously I've got a special on Unleash the Dark as well. And I also feel like it would be thematically appropriate for me to spend 3 tokens and run the risk of this going well over the top.
Into that.
Oh boy.
You should blow on my dice, Nick. Thank you. So I rolled a 7 and I spent 3.
10.
Nailed it.
So I got a 10. Now, I do have a special for Unleash the Dark.
Unsurprisingly.
My darkness is never leashed, is my special. When you unleash the dark, I can also choose one from below. I can choose an extra thing. Weaken them, force them to retreat, corrupt an aspect of their power, and they will tell you more than they wanted to. So let's see what we get out of the basics. Do you, since you're directing my power, do you want to choose what you get out of it, Nick?
That's a really good idea.
You do. You make the choice, and then you can choose which of my specials we'll take as well.
Okay. Remind me again what was on your list?
My extra list. Weaken them for now. Force them to retreat for now. Corrupt an aspect of their power for now, and they will tell you more than they wanted to.
I think if we force them to retreat for now, that might drive us all out of the rift.
I was going to say, if we force them to retreat deeper into the rift, then we can seal them inside, can't we?
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, do that. Let's avoid reprisals, harm or cost this time around. That sheer unrestrained power of yours. And I'm not sure that... You can let us know, Josh, if Becky's additional is sufficient to end this.
I think so, given that you're going to be through the rift and
tying it up
in safety.
Well, in that case, I want to get past their defences and inflict a condition as a parting gift.
Oh, wow, I hadn't even thought what would be a good condition for this guy. So I will just suggest that he is horrified as he's forced to retreat deeper into the rift. The psychic webbing that you are weaving starts to catch him, and he's drawn into the cocoon around the Queen of Monsters, and you can see the look of dread on Payne's face as he looks at you, and I think he calls out and says, "No, please don't leave me."
No emotion.
Are we trapped here forever?
No emotion at all for me. I just turn my back on him and leave.
Yeah, cool. And visually, the inside of the rift has become this kind of chaotic melange of psychic webs that have an almost sort of cartoonish feel to them, you know, like in the Spider-Verse where everything's kind of gone a bit psychedelic. And as you step through, there's a kind of popping noise as the rift comes together, and suddenly reality is restored in full technicolor normality.
Hooray! I think.
We did it? Did we do it?
It's just quiet inside the volcano.
So I'm still, you know, looking extremely ragged from previously when I was inside the monster and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, now I'm sort of slumping down on the ground, exhausted. My wings still, you know, shredded set of rags. And I say, yes, this was the silence we had after we closed the rift last time.
Let's go back. I think we could all do with some rest. Good job, everyone.
Just as a reminder, we are taking a break of a few weeks after this episode, so there won't be any Black Armada Tales next week, but we will be back in the second half of September, so tune in then. Thank you for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Apocalypse Keys by Jamila R. Najadi. You can find out more about Apocalypse Keys at evilhat.com/home/apocalypse-keys. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast and join us on Twitter, where we are BArmadaTales. If you're struggling to find a pen to write all that down, you can find that information and more in the show notes. See you next time.
It is very exposing, all the unconscious noises that you make.
I know everybody's little tics now. It's very funny. Ooh. Everyone has a particular way of saying or whatever. All the little bits and bobs that you do, which is helpful. I mean, I can spot them now on the sound graph.
So when you get pulled in by the man and have to identify each of us from...
Oh, I think I could. I think yeah. I could. I think if you just showed me the Audacity track with no identifying details, I'd be able to tell James easily.
Ooh, what is it? What's the tell?
He says, you know, a lot. And Brian. The has a particular shape on the sound graph.
Still listening here, you know. you know.
I didn't know that. I think I could tell... Sue, but maybe not Sue from Becky. I think you both talk quite quietly. I don't know.
What about me?
Yeah, I think I could, but I think. Yeah, I think I could. You talk a bit louder than some of the others. You have a fairly distinct shape to your sounds.
Hmm.
And, like, you're not James, so you haven't got the particular... I would have to do it by a process of deduction.
Right.
But this could be quite a fun party game, actually, yeah. Identify your
completely
friends.
Completely paralyzing now. The knowledge that I go, you know, approximately every 15 seconds.
But that's what editors are for.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I do it. I don't go, you know, I just go, And that's, I go, a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone does it, so it's, yeah, less horrifying.
It's funny how you never notice it in yourself either, but you kind of, or at least I pretty instantly notice it in everyone else.
I know I've probably said this about 6 times already, but the thing that has fascinated me the most is that when people talk in character, they don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird. It's like turning off a switch. You start talking in character, suddenly you no longer say or any of those things. All the tics just vanish. It's like, what? So, but it's still you. What's going on?
You almost want to role play in an MRI machine just to see which other bit of your brain is engaging.
Definitely. That'd be really interesting.